podcast in association with the FWA.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One. He's 17-10 anytime. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Right, the boss is up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. Their odds against. Love it, love it, love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes. Listen on Audio Boom or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Greetings, everyone, and a very warm welcome along to the Punt podcast. Much to discuss on the pod this week. We'll talk to the chief sports writer for the Daily Mirror, Andy Dunn, about the Umar Nias suspension. Was it a dive, or have the FA decided to make an example out of a low-profile foreigner? We'll also discuss Jurgen Klopp and whether his eccentricity means he escapes the wrath of the press when his side inevitably capitulates. Pete Farris, Gav Pushlowski and Al Ross will give their bets in the lower leagues. Alex Dunn will give his best bet on the continent. But first, as always, ahead of the televised games in the Premier League this weekend, a man with a beaming smile following last week's North London derby. It's William Hill's Andy XL. Good afternoon to you, Andy.
Good afternoon. Never happier to be wrong with me now.
Went for the draw last week and Arsenal came out 2-0 and comprehensive victors.
Yep, over the moon, Brian, as they say.
And the godfather of betting, as always, here on the podcast with us, Derek McGovern. Good afternoon to you, Derek.
Good afternoon, chappies. Flying high with yet another winning nap. I hope you notice that breaks my record now. Two winning naps on the run. My previous record was one on the run, so I'm absolutely flying.
I thought it was none on the run, Derek. But let's get stuck into this weekend then, chaps. West Ham versus Leicester is first up. This is Friday night, this one. The Hammers are 17-10 to win it. The draw 9-4, Leicester 13-8. So little between them in terms of the betting. Andy Carroll to score and West Ham to win was 16-5. That's been enhanced to 7-2. And Jamie Vardy to score and Leicester City to win was 12-5. That's been enhanced to 5-2. Andy, I think David Moyes has had the shortest honeymoon period in the history of football management. West Ham fans were against this union even before it was consummated. And there were chants of Moyes out 10 minutes into his tenure. Those chants might not even be premature because his side went on to be beaten 2-0 by Watford in what was an uninspiring performance.
Yeah, as you've talked about honeymoon periods. Well, I said about this last week, it's just not a marriage made in heaven. I just don't see this one working, and I've saw no chink of light or hope for them last week. They've got injuries coming into this. They've got hammered in the last two at home. I think Leicester are on the point of a turnaround. They've won in the last six meetings. Leicester have had five wins and one draw in this fixture. Guess what? It's going to be Leicester.
13-8, Leicester to win the game. West Ham haven't got a good record against Leicester either, Derek. You look at their recent meetings. Leicester have won four of the last five, including the last two away at West Ham. And David Moyes has now failed to win any of his 10 home Premier League games when in management in this calendar year. And the record for most home games without winning in a calendar year is held by Mick McCarthy. So David Moyes in illustrious company, Derek.
Yeah, you wonder who West Ham have got a good record against, by the way. You mentioned it, their poor one against Leicester. That game last week against Watford, did you see Marko Arnautovic, the West Ham striker, ride about in agony towards the end? Apparently it was nothing to do with his injury. He just said Moyes had got the job until the end of the season. Supposed to be keeping Hammers up. David Moyes, I wouldn't back him to keep his socks up. We said this last week. I said that there might be Moyes out chance even before the kickoff. Well, they only have to wait 10 minutes. But you still can rely on David Moyes to work his magic because he makes expectations disappear. This is the only, if you look at West Ham's next run of fixtures after this one, Leicester at home, Everton away, Man City away, Chelsea at home, Arsenal at home. My God, come Christmas, they could be bottom of the table. And that takes some doing, given the rubbish that's infesting the Premier League right now. Leicester are absolutely certainties in this game. You know, they've got a better away record, Leicester, than Arsenal have this season. If Arsenal were going to West Ham, they'd be something like 4-6. Leicester 13-8. Lump on.
13-8 Leicester for both Derek and Andy. By the way, West Ham, Derek, 7-4 to be relegated. Does that pique your interest?
Yeah, they're going to go down. In fact, you know what? I'm looking at them. And you remember when West Ham went down a few years ago, they were too good to go down. They were great players they had, Ferdinand, I think, Joe Cole, people like that. Well, I'm looking there now. I can't see anything. The only reason I'm not going to back them to finish bottom is that Huddersfield have got that sewn up. You look at the table now, Huddersfield is only like 14th. Mark my words, they will finish bottom.
Okay, thank you, Derek. Liverpool versus Chelsea is next. This is the big one this weekend. Liverpool are in the market at 23-20. They've been well back, Liverpool, to win this game. The draw 5-2 with Chelsea in the market at 9-4. The enhanced odds, plenty of them on the William Hill website and on the app. Mohamed Salah to score and Liverpool to win was 23-10. That's been enhanced to 5-2. If you think Chelsea are going to score in both halves, that was 3-1. That's been enhanced to 7-2. Very interesting game this one, Derek, because Chelsea have clicked into gear throughout this season. I think it's been a case of how long is Antonio Conte going to stay at the club. There's been murmurings that he's in the firing line. There's definitely been uncertainty about his future. But they've won the last three now without conceding, scoring 9 goals in the process. I think one of the keys to that has been moving Eden Hazard into a more central position. He's linked up well with Alvaro Morata, who was rested in midweek in that 4-0 win against Carabag. How do you view this game, Derek?
Chelsea are certainties. I mean, I know that Conte's moaning about the 5,000-mile trip to Azerbaijan this week because of that game, and they've got a day less than Liverpool. Yeah, I think he's complaining that they had to work during the flight back. In fact, Willian was selling scratch cards on the plane. That's how bad it was. He wanted the fixture to be played a day later. Obviously, he did. The Premier League wouldn't have it. So Roman Abramovich compromised and he suggested buying Azerbaijan and then moving it near to Anfield, which would work, but no one would have it. Chelsea's certainties. If you saw Liverpool on the telly on Wednesday night, I mean, everybody was cock-a-hoop on Merseyside because they'd gone, I think, 4 games, conceding only 1 goal. I don't know, the defence is right now. But they'd only played in those 4 games, Maribor, Southampton, Huddersfield and West Ham. I mean, you know, the moment they play against a good team that puts them under a bit of pressure, they collapse. I don't know what they put in Seville's tier half-time, but I know what they put in Liverpool's on Tuesday, Rohypnol. But it was absolutely a catastrophic performance by them. And when you saw on the telly the stewards having to clear the rubbish from the pitch, you know, after it went 3-3, well, they wanted to take the Liverpool back four with them. That's how bad they were. Chelsea cannot lose this game because Liverpool will probably score against Chelsea because look at Liverpool going forward and they'll score generally against anyone. But I cannot see Chelsea not scoring at least 2 against Liverpool. I'm going to give a correct score here. Liverpool 1, Chelsea 3.
Chelsea to win the game by 3-1 is 25-1 here with William Hill. Both teams have scored in 11 of the last 12 Premier League meetings between these two sides. And if you're looking at the enhanced odds, you're looking at the goal scorer betting, do look at Mo Salah. He's 13-10 to score any time. He's scored 9 in the Premier League this season. And just behind him, with 8 goals in the Premier League this season, Alvaro Morata is also 13-10 to score any time. A nice little bit of symmetry there on the William Hill website. Andy, Derek, downbeat about Liverpool's chances this weekend.
He is. I'm a bit worried for him. Look, Liverpool are an interesting one because they're so two-sided, aren't they? They're great going forward, terrible at the back. I mean, Alberto Moreno's best position is left back in Spain. well, to use the old game. But yeah, there'll be goals in this for sure. I'm not quite as pessimistic about Liverpool as Derek. I can see a 1-1 or a 2-2. The last three games between the two at Anfield, I think, have finished 1-1. So yeah, I think there'll be goals, but 1-1 or 2-2.
You're going to have to wait until Monday evening for the European nap to land, and I'm pretty confident that it will land. Atalanta are at home to Benevento on Monday night. Atalanta, whose home form is pretty scintillating. They have lost only to Roma this calendar year at home, and they come up against a Benevento side who are utterly rank, possibly the worst side ever seen in Serie A. 13 games, 13 defeats, 6 goals scored, 33 conceded. That rot is not going to stop here. Now, Atlanta are 4s on in the outright market, which is probably fair enough, to be honest with you. You might want to back Atlanta and both teams to score at 9-5. I don't want to back that. And you might fancy Atalanta to win to nil at 19-20. That's okay. But I'm eking out a little more value, and I'm going Atalanta to win and under 2.5 goals in the match at 11-4. So basically, you've got Atalanta 1-0 and 2-0 playing for you on Monday night. Benevento have actually scored a few in recent games, but I don't think they will here. I think Atalanta will win snugly, cosily, but they won't batter Benevento, and that 11-4 is pretty tempting. So Atalanta to win and under 2.5 goals, the bet, the European nap on Monday. Good luck with your bets this week, listeners.
On to Sunday's televised games. Southampton versus Everton first up. 1:30 kick-off this one. Southampton odds on at 5-6 to win this game. The draw 12-5 with Everton 17-5. The enhanced odds, Shane Long to score and Southampton to win was 11-5. That's been enhanced to 9-4. And Wayne Rooney to score and Everton to win was 13-2. And now 8-1, perhaps the two teams that have underachieved more than any others this season in the Premier League. Southampton have 13 points, Andy, after 12 games. Everton have just the 12. And Southampton were battered last weekend by Liverpool 3-0. Everton drew 2-2 at Palace. And there has been a minor upturn in Everton's form. They've picked up 4 points from their last two Premier League fixtures. But it must be noted, they've played Watford at home and Palace away in those two games. So that's the minimum requirement from those two matches. I look at the odds for this game and I think, who the hell is backing Southampton at 5-6?
Well, it's a bi-weekly conversation about Southampton going off the same price at home, no matter who they're playing. It does seem to work out that way. And they just seem to meet teams at the right time for them. But... Look, these teams are so uninspiring. Southampton have scored 3 goals in their last 6 home games. 3 goals in 6 home games. Everton haven't won away in 18 games, going back to the 21st of January when they won 1-0 at Crystal Palace, I think it was. They're without Omar Niasse for his dive, which was a dive. So, you know, who's going to score the goals? I think this might be one of the best 0-0s of the season. I can't see anything happening.
15-2 if you think the 0-0 draw is the likeliest option on the correct score markets. Derek, I find the pricing for this game fascinating.
Well, I've seen some bad bets in my time, usually on the betting slip I've just written. But Southampton have odds on. I mean, we've said it, as Andy rightly said, we keep saying it every time Southampton play at home. And by the way, do they ever play any decent teams at home? It's always rubbish to play against, isn't it? I mean, but if you think they are dour, well, you haven't watched Everton. You know, these days they reserve the loudest cheer for the full-time whistle at Goodison. That's how bad it is. I mean, you said 15-2 for a 0-0 draw. It should be 2-15. I mean, David Unsworth, as manager, will see a draw as a great result for Everton. And if you've got Unsworth as your manager, it is. But it's just, I can't see them having an attack. I can't see Southampton having an attack. It's got to be 0-0. In fact, I don't even think there'll be that many goals.
Huddersfield versus Manchester City is the last of the televised matches this weekend, 4 p.m. on Sunday. Huddersfield 12-1, the draw 11-2. Manchester City are 1-5. Enhanced odds, Laurent de Poitre to score and Huddersfield to win was 22-1. That's been enhanced to 33-1. And Kevin De Bruyne to score and Manchester City to win was 9-5. That's now 2-1. A huge task, obviously, facing Huddersfield Town this weekend, Derek. City made a few changes for their Champions League clash with Feyenoord in midweek, but a late Raheem Sterling goal sealed the deal for City. And they just have so many options, Manchester City. Sergio Aguero started midweek, so Gabriel Jesus might come back into the reckoning for a starting spot this weekend. And Guardiola obviously has the option of playing both together. Kevin De Bruyne, a constant in the heart of midfield. Leroy Sané didn't play midweek. £43 million man Bernardo Silva has been a bit part player this season. They've just got so many options, Derek.
Mm-hmm, they have. And, you know, when you mentioned, you know, you're always going to ring up Hills and say, you know, request your odds, I bet that you fancy. Well, I've got one here for the Hills. Can you come up with a price for this, please? England's first innings score in the Ashes, will it be beaten by Man City's first half score against Huddersfield? Because this is probably people argue it's the best team we've seen in the Premier League, City. And I would argue that Huddersfield are among the worst we've seen. I know it's only a third of the season gone, but my God, they are pony. 1-5 City away from home. Well, if you're ever going to back a 1-5 shot away from home, this is it. But I don't do that. City minus 2 goals is 13-10. And right there, there's your Christmas money.
13-10 on City minus 2. If Manchester City win this match, by the way, they'll have 37 points, and that will be the outright best points tally of a side after 13 games of a Premier League season. Would beat their own record, which they set back in 2011-2012, where they had 35. And if you're looking for a first goal scorer option or an anytime goal scorer option, Gabriel Jesus, 12-5 to score first. He's 23-10 to score two or more. He's been involved in 20 goals in his last 21 Premier League appearances, scoring 15, assisting 5. Derek, negative about Huddersfield, very positive, as you would expect about Manchester City, Andy.
Well, you can't help but be positive about City. He's been very harsh on Huddersfield. They've got two or three injuries which, you know, nobody knows about, because nobody knows anything about any Huddersfield players apart from people who support Huddersfield. There is a couple of comes and comes. I think they're a much better team at home. Derek's commented on, I think, on a couple of away points. They haven't found a way to play away from home. They're looking dire away from home. But they did beat Man United at home. Let's not forget that. City, John Stones is out. Can they concede? Will they start conceding a bit now? You know, Otamendi and Mangala, I don't think they've ever convinced anybody. So, you know, there's some hope there. And we have kind of priced it accordingly. I think we're actually bottom price in the market, Huddersfield, because they're a big price, and they should be. But I'm not sure it's one you want to lay at a big price, to be honest.
What's the prediction?
I think City will win, but... stick my neck out. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that everybody thinks it is. There could be 4 or 5 goals in this game, and I wouldn't rule out that Huddersfield get a couple of them.
City to win and both teams to score could be the option there then, at 9-5 if you fancy City to win the game but both teams to score in this match.
Just whilst we're talking about your odds there, one thing, if you're building a your odds bet this week, I would point people towards over cards and over corners. City get loads of corners and they also get a few cards, and so do Huddersfield. So if you're building your odds bet, go with the overs.
So I thought I'd treat myself to a meal out with the proceeds of the winning naps last weekend. Small fries, please. Small fries, thanks, yeah. There were some winners, though. Start with Derek McGovern. 2 winning naps on the trot. First time since 2008 that's happened. Winning nap was Burnley at 11-10. Pete Farris had Derby draw no better, 5-4. They drew, so he didn't lose any money, but it does feel a bit dirty, Pete, doesn't it? Al Ross had a winner in Forest Green at 13-10. And Sam Norris for the Euro Boys, Immobile to score any time, came in at 11-10 as well. DK still out in front in profit by £8.43. Next in the running is Pete Farris, minus £1. He will hit parity soon. Al Ross, third in the table with minus £14. Yeah, barbecue sauce. Is it free? Yeah, cheers.
The first time since 2008. Slander.
I think that's Lee Phelps' best ever contribution to this podcast.
It was a good one. Last, give him that.
Last time you had 2 naps in a row, Rip Van Winkle got a mention.
Derek, have you got a good one for us this weekend?
Well, you know what? There's a few. There's 3 fighting for napdom this weekend. One of those is Man City to win by more than 2 goals. At 13-10, Chelsea are another, at 9-4. The Southampton, Everton 0-0 draw, 15-2. I'm almost going for that, but I'm going for Leicester, 13-8 to win at West Ham. It's inconceivable that doesn't win.
Okay. Leicester 13-8, Andy.
Yeah, he's pilfered that one off me. dare I say it? The other one to put into considerations, hurts me to say, is Burnley. 5-1 at home to anybody, the way they're playing, that's not too bad. But I'll tell you
And
what,
they're only at home to Arsenal this weekend.
Yeah. After the Lord's Mayor show, who knows? No, I'm not going to do that just because I can't. I can't bring myself to do it. So I'm going to go with the Southampton-Everton 0-0.
Southampton Everton 0-0, 15-2. I'm going with Bournemouth to win away at Swansea. I just think Swansea are appalling at the moment. Bournemouth,
they are awful
on the back of that good result last weekend. So 17-10 for Bournemouth to win that game. I think they should be outright favourites. So the treble this week: Leicester 13-8, 0-0 draw in Southampton versus Everton 15-2, Bournemouth at 17-10 pays just under 60-1.
That's a great treble, that, as well. That is a really, really... That's the best one. That's the best ever on the podcast, that one.
Now at William Hill, you can get your bet onto the website for featured matches. If there's a bet you fancy that's not on the app, just tweet with the hashtag YourOdds to @WilliamHill and the traders will try to price it up. Hashtag YourOdds from William Hill.
Now it's a warm welcome along to the chief sports writer for the Daily Mirror, Andy Dunn, who joins myself and Derek on the line to talk about a couple of key and burning issues in the world of football. First of all, good afternoon to you, Andy.
Afternoon, chaps.
Are you well?
Yes, all good, thank you.
Very good. I want to talk about start this conversation by talking about Umar Nias, who was suspended following his successful deception of a match official, that's the official term, last weekend when winning that penalty in the 2-2 draw at Crystal Palace. And this is the first time a Premier League player has been charged by the FA with that offence. Andy, I suppose two questions here. Firstly, was it a dive? And secondly, has he been singled out because he's a foreign player without a big reputation?
On the second instance, no, he hasn't. I mean, the FA could easily have charged Richarlison when he went down quite easily under a Hector Bellerin challenge and won a penalty for Watford against Arsenal. Bernardo Silva was also accused by Sean Dyche, the Burnley manager, of going down and deceiving the match official when he went down. I think it was Nick Pope. Was alleged to have tripped him up. So they could have singled out those foreign players. It's not because he's foreign, it's because he took a dive. Phil Neville called it a 100% dive. Alan Shearer called it a certain dive. It was a dive. You watch that live, it's a dive. I mean, and, you know, David Unsworth said, oh, well, you know, Umar Nias is not a player who goes down for no apparent reason. Well, I'll tell you what, a lot of people who've watched Nias play would disagree with that. He is a player, not in the cheating sense either. But the fact is, he did go down for a reason. The reason he went down was to try and deceive Anthony Taylor into awarding a penalty. That's what he did. And he's been punished accordingly. You know, it also, thankfully, it also confirms what we all know, is that just because there is contact, it doesn't mean you can't be accused of cheating and you can't be found guilty of deceiving the referee. Yes, of course there was contact. Was it enough for Nias to go down? No, it wasn't. Did he go down because he wanted to win a penalty? Yes, simple as that. It's a good decision, and hopefully it will be a big deterrent for players the problem is that that's what really infuriates people, is that it's now the first instinct is not to try and work your way into a scoring opportunity if that could possibly be quite difficult. It's to try and con the officials, and that's why the rule was brought in. There will be injustices. A few innocent people will get done along the way, but that's the sacrifice that's going to have to be made.
David, what's your view?
Yeah, innocent players will get banned. That's what you call collateral damage, and if it's to rid the game of the scourge of the game, diving, well, I'm all for it. Half the players out now, injured. They're not really injured. They've just got a nasty case of the bends through all the diving they do. I mean, will it act as a deterrent? Yes, it will, but not as much as kneecapping them would do. I would applaud that move. That would be a more effective deterrent. It's diabolical. And you know, the more players who are banned in my eyes, the better, because sooner or later they'll realise they'll have to stop. Nias, was it a dive? 1,000,000%. I mean, I say, yeah, I could see that at the time in open play. People say he deserved the yellow card. Some say he deserved the red card. I think he deserved an equity card. It was diabolical. And the more players banned, the better for me.
And the thing is, when Derek said they deserve kneecapping, they deserve financially kneecapping. And that's what might be a deterrent. Yeah, I think he's got, I don't know what the fine is, if there is actually a fine. But, you know, will two bans be, does two games be enough of a deterrent? I don't know, because there's the other thing, is what is the punishment? The punishment has to be The punishment isn't, you know, Crystal Palace are not getting anything from the punishment. In fact, there is an argument that, in general, suspensions always benefit someone else other than the victims. So, you know, in other words, it's the teams that Everton, again, this is a debatable point in the case of Nias, but the teams that Everton play are the ones that will benefit because yeah. Everton are without their striker. You know, if someone like, for example, Richarlison had been banned after what, retrospectively, after what, after his penalty win against Arsenal, then it would have been, and then say he was banned for games against Arsenal's rivals, that would have benefited them and not Arsenal. Indirectly, it would have been, you know, to the detriment of Arsenal. So finding other ways as well, I mean, increasing the financial punishments would be a way forward. And what would be even better is if the clubs, rather than come out as they have this morning and defend the player, if clubs themselves, managers themselves said to them, hang on a minute, cut that out, it's given us a bad reputation. Ferguson did it once with Ashley Young.
Let's move on to talk about Jurgen Klopp after Liverpool's capitulation. I think it's fair to call it a capitulation midweek against Sevilla. Still got a point in that Champions League match, but 3-0 up at half-time, Derek. Ended the game 3-3, and I just wonder where the press in the past have given Jurgen Klopp an easy ride. He came in with that air of eccentricity, and I think he further endeared himself to the fans, and I think the media as well, with his learning of Scouse terms, and he's quickly immersed himself in the Liverpool culture as well. But that doesn't mean he's not culpable for what happens on the pitch at Liverpool.
No, quite right. I can't think of anyone who's had an easier ride than Jurgen Klopp. Not even Liz Taylor on National Velvet. I mean, he's got the press eaten out of his hands, much the same as Wenger has had in recent years, and he's had another easy ride. I think back to Rafa Benitez in his Liverpool day. He took Liverpool to two European Cup finals in 5 years. Wenger's taken Arsenal to one in a million years, and it was Rafa who always got the stick from the press. Always annoys me that when I think about it. It's what we saw from Liverpool on Tuesday. It was exactly the same as we saw against the same opponent, Seville, in the Europa League final. I watched that first half that night, and it was the most one-sided cup final I'd ever seen, and yet Seville won it 3-1. And, you know, and the same happened, and the same mistakes keep happening over and over again. And, you know, I just don't understand how we can get away with it. A recent survey, only 30% of people said football was still their favourite sport. That survey was conducted among Liverpool defenders. It's so obvious to the man in the street what is wrong with Liverpool. And here's a manager who's getting paid squillions, and he can't put it right. I'm not saying there's a question mark over his job right now, but there's definitely an umlaut.
He's got a very similar record to that of Brendan Rodgers, Andy, when he was at the club. I'm not surprised he's not been pilloried in the press, but he does seem, it appears to me, to get an easy ride, Andy.
Yeah, that'd be the Brendan Rodgers who just got beat 7-1.
That's a fair comment as well.
That'd be him, yeah. And now, listen, he hasn't got, when you say a similar record, people always use this idea that over a long period of time it's the same record. Brendan Rodgers didn't get sacked because of his overall record. He didn't get sacked because he almost won the Premier League with a team that scored a million goals when they had Suarez and Coutinho and Gerrard are pulling the strings. He didn't get sacked because of that. He got sacked because in the season, in that season, he'd, I think, got 12 points from 9 games and the team weren't playing very good football. That's why he got sacked. I mean, Jurgen Klopp, and I know everyone says that, yeah, he gets an easy ride because he's funny with us, and you know, but he's actually not that funny. I mean, that's the thing. He's actually not that funny. So it's not as though, and he's not that charming with the press. I think if he gets an easy ride, it's because, A, I think the press realised that he's actually very popular with Liverpool fans. I mean, and also, the fact is that his team play good football. I understand the defensive arguments. I understand he's got a blind spot with the keepers. He's got a blind spot with the centre-halves. Certainly with the full-back. Certainly with one of the full-backs anyway. So, I understand that. But his team, going forward, I saw them West Ham, they were excellent. Going forward, they're great to watch. And the media, like everybody else, like teams that are good to watch. When Jose Mourinho came to England and he was winning all sorts with Chelsea, he got us together, the press, and said, listen, how come Arsene Wenger gets all this credit, wins nothing, and I don't, and I'm winning stuff? And we said, well, because your football, essentially, is dull to watch, and that one is very attractive to watch. And that's just human instinct, whether it be the press or anyone.
Hi, my name's Pete Farries, and this week for the Championship Nap, I'm going to go down the barrel of something very easy. It's the later kickoff again, and I'm going to go for Sheffield United odds on at the time of recording at 8-13. Why would I want to back Sheffield United? Well, they lost, of course, to Fulham in an epic midweek. Oh, and then they've won most other games. They're incredible at home, and they're taking on a Birmingham side who lost away at Middlesbrough midweek and have had a terrible season so far. All in all, it's very, very simple for me. I know that sometimes with a nap you need to dream big, bet big, whatever, but actually this week, very, very simply, I'm going to go for Sheffield United at 8-13 to beat Birmingham. It's my nap of the week in the Championship. Let's go to Gav Puszulowski for his thoughts on League One.
Looking at League One this weekend, and I'm going back on a side that have let me down previously, but they have found form and finally starting to look like serious contenders to get out of League One. They climbed into the playoffs. My nap selection is looking at Blackburn Rovers, 4-5 to win at home to a hapless Bristol Rovers, who I actually backed last week to beat Wimbledon and lost by 3-1 at home. Shocking result for Bristol Rovers, and Bristol Rovers are on a shocking run of form, having lost their last five games in the League, Cup, FA Cup, Checkatrade Trophy. 5 defeats in 5 for Bristol Rovers, and they are conceding plenty of goals. 3 against Wimbledon last weekend, they conceded 4 against Swindon, 4 against Notts County, and 3 against West Ham under-23s in the Checkatrade Trophy. And Blackburn Rovers found form. Their last two games in League One, they've won 3-0 away at Bury, 4-2 away at Oxford. They won in the FA Cup 3-1 at home to Barnet, and did recently draw, fairly recently, 2-2 at home to Fleetwood Town. So Blackburn are suddenly scoring goals and Bristol Rovers suddenly conceding them. I fancy Blackburn to win at 4-5, but I'm going better than that. My nap, Blackburn Rovers -1 at 15-8. Looking at League Two, here's Al Ross.
Cambridge and Swindon, both odds against, looking good prices for Accas this week, but I've gone value hunting to Barnet's Hive Stadium. Barnet, midweek win at Newport, should have been run at the mill, the way Newport are going, but only goals in the 88th minute and added time beat a Newport side who were undone by a lack of confidence in their ability to defend the lead. For Barnet, that ended a 14-match winless run and a 4-match losing streak, and for some reason that makes them 23-20 to win this weekend, which is madness, because for a start they're at home where they've only won 2 games all season, the first home match of the campaign and one in early September. Barnet have drawn quite a few on their own patch, but the visitors this weekend are Grimsby, and Grimsby don't do away draws, and 0-0 at Morecambe last month was the first in any competition since March, and if you're expecting a result, expect a Grimsby win. 9 away league games this season, 4 wins, and they've come out on a tricky run by beating a resurgent Swindon in midweek, a low-scoring side managing 3 goals in the process despite a brilliant display from the Swindon keeper Rhys Charles Cook. Yes, a cursory glance might suggest Grimsby were lacking form before that, but factor in their only defeats since the start of last month have either been against sides who made the playoffs last year or against higher tier opposition at Portsmouth in the Cup, Scunthorpe and Sunderland in the Trophy. One of those defeats by penalties, 3 others by a single goal. So all of a sudden, a price of 11-4 on them this weekend looks far too sturdy. 11-8 for the draw, no bet if you prefer. But only Accrington, Swindon and Carlisle have won on the road in League Two this season more than Grimsby have, and no team has won fewer at home than Barnet. Grimsby, the nap, 11-4.
That is it for this week's edition of the Punt Podcast. Do check out all the betting at sports.williamhill.com, or alternatively, you can access all the odds on the William Hill app as well. Thank you to Andy Dunn, our special guest from the Mirror, the chief sports writer. Thanks, of course, to Derek McGovern and Andy Excel, and Pete Farries, Gav Puszulowski, Al Ross and Alex Dunn for their contributions. And a tip of the cap to Lee Phelps for his naps update for the week. Thank you, everyone that's tuned in. If you want to access this podcast via audioboom.com, you can do. Just type in the Punt. Alternatively, catch us at the usual podcast places by typing in William Hill. And finally, if you're having a bet this weekend, the very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.